Welcome to Covenant's Pulpit Ministry. Covenant Evangelical Free Church believes that the Bible is the Word of God and that God's Word is vital for life-transforming Christianity. We trust that you will grow to know the Word of God and, more importantly, the God of the Word as you hear this message today. May God bless you as you open your heart to His Word.
Good morning, church. On the first Sunday of January, our senior pastors preached on a message going all in for Jesus and His kingdom. So what does going all in look like? It looks like a disciple who is fully alive, fully aligned, and fully ablaze for God. So today we are covering the sermon on fully ablaze for God. And in the process of preparing the sermon, I realized that various people have different definitions for fully ablaze disciple of Jesus Christ. Some think that that kind of disciple should always be ready to sacrifice their families on the altar for God to serve to the point of burnout. I humbly beg to differ from that kind of definition. Others define a fully ablaze disciple of Jesus Christ as one who is almost perfect, passionate for Jesus all the time, on fire and on the go for His kingdom. However, as I search the scriptures, I realize that many servants of God who are known to be fully ablaze for God are far from perfect. But they have one thing in common. They often had a U-turn moment back to God. A U-turn moment back to God. So today we are going to discover a servant of God who not only U-turned back to his homeland, he U-turned back to God in Genesis 35. His name is Jacob. So who is Jacob? Jacob is known to have a very broken, complicated sibling relationship with his twin brother Esau. He tricked Esau, he deceived the father and stole the blessings from Esau. And Esau was so mad, so angry with Jacob that he wanted to kill Jacob. Jacob, in order to escape from his anger, fled from home to stay with his relatives. In Genesis 29, verse 1, it says that Jacob went on his journey and came to the land of the people of the east. So Jacob left home, went to stay with his relatives known as the people of the east. In the book of Genesis, the people of the east are often referred to people as expelled from the presence of God. That means Jacob went to stay with his relatives who do not worship God. Jacob not only left his homeland, he was away from the presence of God. Not just 1 year, 2 years, but 20 years. He was away from the presence of God. But in Genesis 33, he returned back to his homeland. U-turned back to his homeland in Genesis 35, he U-turned back to God and he went fully ablaze for him by building an altar of worship back to God. So before we dive in to read the scriptures, let us pray. Father, may you fill us with your spirit to understand your word. May we not just be hearers, but doers of your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Today, let us go fully ablaze for God by firstly, putting away our old ways. Secondly, stepping into a new beginning of fruitfulness. Let us begin with first point of today's sermon. Let us go fully ablaze for God by putting away your old ways. And let us read from Genesis 35, verses 1 to 4 from the ESV version. This is what it says. God said to Jacob, "Arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there. Make an altar there to God who appeared to you when you fled from your brother Esau." So Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, "Put away the foreign gods that are among you and purify yourselves and change your garments." Verse 3, "Then let us arise and go up to Bethel so that I may make there an altar to the God who answers me in the day of my distress and has been with me wherever I've gone." So they gave to Jacob all the foreign gods that they had and the rings that were in their ears. Jacob hid them under the terebinth tree that was near Shechem. While we are not sure the earrings that they gave up were worn by people or worn by idols, some scholars say that back in those days, idols, they do wear earrings. Whatever it is, what is clear to us is that they gave up the foreign gods. They gave everything before building an altar of worship to him. If we zoom in at verse 2, Jacob tells his people, put away the foreign gods. God did not tell Jacob to put away the foreign gods. God just told Jacob, build an altar of worship to me. So that means Jacob knew immediately that they have to do it. There is no such thing as half-hearted allegiance. There is no such thing as half-hearted worship. It is either all in or none. They went fully ablaze for God by removing the old idols, the foreign god. At this moment, it is good for us to just take note that Jacob fled from his home around age 77. He went to stay with the people of the East for 20 years. 77 plus 20 is almost 100. By the time he came back to his homeland, by the time he U-turned back to God and built an altar of worship, he was almost 100 years old. That means we are never too old to go ablaze for God. Never too old. Today, God wants us to go ablaze for Him, to put away not just our idols, our old ways. Because the truth is that not many of us have old physical idols to put away. But we all have our old ways, our old habits, our old nature, the former manner of life that we must put away if we want to go all in fully ablaze for God. Put away your old ways that take the place of God in your hearts. To be fully ablaze for God, it is not just about doing more for God. It starts with giving more of your heart to Him. So what is this old way, old nature, old manner of life that God is challenging you to put away? Some of you need to consider putting away your pursuit of comfort. Some of you have comfort sitting on the throne of your heart instead of Jesus Christ. Your pursuit of comfort has been with you for all these years as a Christian, and that has hindered you to a great extent from going all in for Jesus and His kingdom. You prefer to be in your comfort zone. Attending weekly worship service is just enough. Nothing more, nothing less. Today, God is calling you, put that away. Because being a true disciple of Jesus Christ is not just attending weekly worship service, but to have spiritual tenacity to daily carry your cross. Your pursuit of comfort is like an idol in your life that you must put away and put on spiritual disciplines. My brothers and sisters in Christ, comfort is like a 21st century idol that a lot of us have. It's like a 21st century idol. We must put that away and be ready to train ourselves, because at the end of the day, it's not just attending weekly service. It's to have the spiritual strength to daily carry our cross. So in the month of February onwards, your CGL, for those of you who are in CG, will challenge you to put away comfort and to put on spiritual disciplines. All of you in CG will be going through a spiritual discipline module to grow in the area of word, prayer, service, accountability, community. It's not just to learn it as a head knowledge, but to practice it together as a CG. Not just in the adult CG, the youths are doing it as well. 500 over youths across all three centers, we are challenging them, put away comfort as your 21st century idol and come on a spiritual discipline on reading God's word together. We are gathering them on the YouVersion app, in the app whereby they can form communities in the app. They will read the book of Matthew together from February to 470 days, doing it together with the adults. And I want to strongly encourage all of us, put our comfort away and be ready to be trained so that we can daily carry our cross. We don't have physical idols, but we have our old nature, our old habit that we need to put away. Your pursuit of comfort may be one of them. The second one is your false cover of shame. Singapore used to be a kiasu nation, known to be a kiasu nation. In recent years, we have gained this reputation of being an overworked country. Right, not so good, but yeah. So underneath this kiasu mindset and a working, overworking culture often lies a deeper layer of shame that some of us or most of us can identify with. Some of you, in order to cover up your shame, you overwork or you try to overperform in school or at your workplace. Some of you, in order to cover up that deep narrative and inner voice of shame, you appear to be perfect all the time. You try to be perfect, a perfect Christian. And even among close friends, you don't really want to share vulnerably because to be perfect is a cover of shame that you hold on to for many years. And today, God is calling you. Whatever that cover is, put that away. Run to the cross. Don't run to other activities, other coping mechanisms to cover your guilt and your shame. Put your cover of shame away and fully embrace the cross and the gospel, because Jesus is enough to cover all our shame and our guilt. Because if we always have all this cover over us, our pre-believing friends will never be able to see the broken version of us who have accepted the Lord, forgiven by the Lord, and restored by the Lord. The world out there need to see that real gospel, the power of the gospel in our life. And we must put away our old ways. Just as how Jacob and the household put away the old gods, the foreign gods, in order to go fully ablaze for him, today God wants us to not just be doing more activity for him, he wants us to start giving more of our hearts to him, putting away our old ways, old habits, old former manner of life. At this moment, I just want to give you a few moments to just reflect in the presence of God, in silence, and to ask God, what is one thing I need to put away so that I can fully go ablaze for you? Let us reflect in his presence right now. God is calling us to go fully ablaze for him by firstly putting away our old ways, secondly, stepping into a new beginning of fruitfulness. Let us go on to read verse 5 onwards. This is what it says. So after putting away the old gods, and they journeyed on, a terror from God fell upon the cities that were around them, so that they did not pursue the sons of Jacob. And Jacob came to Luz, that is Bethel, which is in the land of Canaan. He and all the people were with him, and there he built an altar and called that place El Bethel, because there God had revealed himself to him when he fled from his brother. Verse 9. God appeared to Jacob again when he came from Padan Aram and blessed him. God said to him, "Your name is Jacob. No longer shall your name be Jacob, but Israel shall be your name." So he called his name Israel. And God said to him, "I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall come from you, and kings shall come from your own body. The land that I gave to Abraham and Isaac, I will give to you, and I will give the land to your offspring after you." This passage is closely connected to Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, where God promised Abraham, "I will make you fruitful. I will make your name great." So with that context in mind, let us zoom in on verse 12, when Jacob was placed on par with spiritual giants, such as Abraham and Isaac. And God told Jacob, "The land I gave to Abraham and Isaac, I will give to you." To be placed on par with spiritual giants such as Abraham and Isaac is mind-blowing. Because remember, Jacob had a sinful past. Jacob only U-turned back to his homeland, U-turned back to God at about 100 years old. To be placed on par with spiritual giants such as Abraham and Isaac tells us one thing. God is pleased with Jacob for putting away the idols. And therefore, God is so pleased that God charges him to step into a new beginning of fruitfulness. This new beginning is marked by the new name that God gives to Jacob. "No longer shall your name be Jacob, you shall be called Israel." This new name that's tied to the new beginning is what God desires Jacob and his descendants to enter into a place of fruitfulness. Today, all of us who believe in Jesus Christ are spiritual descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And therefore, we have a destiny of fruitfulness. Yet, when you look at the passage like that, you will realize that point two, fruitfulness, is closely linked to point one. Jacob was blessed with a new beginning of fruitfulness because of what he did. He put away the idols. Likewise, you can't lead a fruitful life without a holy life, without putting away everything that displeases God. And that makes sense. Remember last year, we went through a whole year of holiness, whole entire year of holiness. And that is the whole entire point one that what this passage is trying to say. Yet, that sense of holiness, that theme of holiness doesn't just end there. God gives a burden to our senior pastors, to the leadership team, the pastoral team, that this year will be a year that we need to step into a new season of fruitfulness. 2024 and 2025 is closely linked in a spiritual burden sense. Point one and point two is linked. We must not neglect that connection. I want to share with you about this prayer summit that happened some weeks ago. It's a prayer summit that gathered pastors and Christian organizations together. It's a Love Singapore summit. And every year we use their devotion in July season. So this summit was really good for many reasons, but personally, I love the logo of this summit. This summit has the same theme as us, All In. So if you see the logo between two words, All and In, you see the logo of arrows pointing back to the cross and arrow going out. It tells us the more we align ourselves back to the cross, the more we will step into our new beginning of fruitfulness. Point one and point two of the sermon, they are linked. The more you go back to the cross, let go of your old ways, your old idols, that will become your story of testimony to go out and share with your friend. So, if you no longer have stories to share with your friend, you have to ask an honest question yourself. Have you been aligning yourself back to the cross? Are the arrows going back to the cross all the time in your life so that you have testimonies, stories to go out and share with your friends? We all want to step into a new season of fruitfulness. Who doesn't want to be fruitful? Many of you have been, you know, intentionally practicing the blessed concept, beginning with prayer with your non-Christian friends. You have been listening to your non-Christian friends, eating with them, serving them, but you're not sure how to share the story, isn't it? I spoke to many friends in the congregation. They often tell me, Pastor Sharon, the last S is not share your story. The last S is stuck. S represents for stuck. We are stuck. We listen and then we eat and put on weight with our friends. And then we don't know how to share the story. We really don't know. We want to go into this season of fruitfulness, but we are stuck. So the church leaders heard your struggles and your cry. And that's why from last week, you realized that your CGL started training you in the three circles. This is a picture of my CG learning the three circles together. I really love the three circles because it's easy. It's all about Jesus forgiving our sins and restoring our brokenness. I love the three circles because the three circles is about the theme of brokenness. And most people can understand and relate to the theme of brokenness because of our broken life and the broken world that we live in. Many generations, whether it's young and old, we can all resonate to a certain extent that our broken life is not flourishing the way that we want, not flourishing the way that God desires us to be. So this is the diagram of a three circle. If you go through the training, you realize that it's a piece of paper, a blank piece of paper, you draw three circles, and you share the story, like the grand story, on that piece of paper. It begins with the first circle that has a heart shape. You know, God made our world perfect, beautiful, right in the beginning. But because of sin, because of what happened in the creation, the Genesis 3, man, humanity disobeyed God, and our world becomes a broken world right now, which is the second circle. And the broken world is the world that we live in, and we can identify to a great extent because of the broken life we are experiencing as well. But if you repent and believe that Jesus died and rose from the dead, which is the third circle, you can be made new. Your brokenness can be complete in Christ. So this is a very simple way of sharing the three circles. And at this moment, you must be asking, so Pastor Sharon, how do I weave in my story? Remember, you're stuck in debt for years. You can weave in the story at the second circle. Okay, at the second circle. Assuming you're all my friends, a non-Christian friend by the name of Amy. So this is how I will weave in my story, my personal story, with the second circle on broken world. So I'll share my personal story, which is a true story. The conversation goes like this. You know, Amy, I can identify this sense of brokenness to a great extent because of my broken childhood experiences. I can resonate that a lot. And since young, I was struggling with this inner voice, inner script of shame, a sense of worthlessness in my life. And that is a sense of brokenness that I can't overcome. So when I was young, I would study really hard to use my results to cover my shame. Then that could cover to a certain extent. And then when I went out to work in the corporate world, maybe 20 over years ago, I started working really hard, thinking that my achievements at my work could silence those voices of shame as well. So as I was working hard and climbing the corporate ladder, I was thinking there must be something up there at the ladder that I could cover more of my shame. But to my surprise, as I was climbing, I took a peek at what was offered up there. I realized that there is nothing good enough to cover my shame. That day, I realized that Jesus, who suffered shame and brokenness on the cross, He is the only one who can forgive my sins, cover my shame, and heal my brokenness. Jesus is the only one that can make me new. Would you want to find out more about this Jesus? Very simple, sharing my life. If you realize, I shared the first point of today's sermon, how I removed the cover of shame, and I used that to share with a friend who needs to hear this story. So point one and point two of the sermon is closely linked, and that is why I encourage you to practice it. And we want to encourage all CGs, go through the three circles. Don't miss that out. And the three circles is not just for Chinese New Year sharing. It's for the entire year and beyond, because God is calling us to step into a new season of fruitfulness. And if you are not in cell group, you can scan the same QR code as well. And it is a 3-minute YouTube link that is easy for you to follow and practice it. Right now, I want to ask the AV crew to show us a video of some covenanters who overcame their fears, they step out of their comfort zone and step into a season of fruitfulness. May we be encouraged by this video, AV crew.
Rejection of the friendship or the relationship, you know, sharing too much or too often when they are not ready may sound a bit pushy, and I fear that the result of that would be them not wanting to open up anymore.
Rejection and harden of heart.
So one fear is that I may not be able to get through to the person, to share the gospel in a way that clicks with the person, and then we'll get a blank look, and then there'll be this awkward silence.
怕朋友不会理我, 怕被拒绝, 怕他们觉得带给他们反感。
When I'm convicted, I just do it, you know, just share the simple truth. It's more of an obedience exercise, and the result, I just have to learn to let go and let God, you know, work through it.
Share with my mom-in-law, with the love of God and the gospel of Jesus, and even despite that she reject, God still love her, and God never give up reaching her out through me.
So I have this army in check. We haven't kept in contact for 17 years. So one day I received a call from a friend that he was not well. So initially I was apprehensive about going to meet him. But in my quiet time, there's a prompting by the Holy Spirit to go and see him and even to share the gospel with him. So on the first two times, he rejected the gospel, but we kept in contact. And then on the third time, that was the time he was hospitalized. We managed to make one final attempt, and he received Christ.
有一次我跟我的一个微信组的朋友传福音，开始的时候我很害怕、很紧张，可是我觉得说我一定要告诉他耶稣有多好。 所以我就一直祷告，祷告了又祷告，然后祷告后我就带着紧张的心跟他打了个电话，然后就在电话中直接跟他谈了耶稣，过后就邀请他来参加教会的聚会。我的朋友呢，整个过程都是在静静的听着，等我讲完话后，他就告诉我说，他不需要耶稣，只有他的妈妈需要耶稣。然后他告诉我说，下个星期他会带他妈妈来我们的教会。结果他真的做到，然后他妈妈也在我们的教会接受了耶稣。过后几年后，我又跟我这个朋友传福音，我邀请他来参加启发课程。然后他答应了，而且他在这一次的启发课程中接受了耶稣。
This whole journey of sharing the gospel itself helped me in terms of my walk and discipleship journey is that I learned to let go. I learned to manage my thoughts and my fears and lay it down at the cross, right? And you know, just letting go of the results to God, not overthinking too much and just simply obey.
The capacity of my love for my mom-in-law to love her and accept her as myself.
God is a very loving and merciful God. So after 17 years without contact, He still sent us to share the gospel with Inchik and allow him to believe in Christ. So I have this hope that for my closest friend and family, who are not believing in Christ yet, that one day they will come to know the Lord, because God is merciful and loving.
通过这一次的传福音的经历，我的信心增强了。现在我跟别人传福音的时候，讲耶稣的时候，不再像以前那么紧张，因为我知道我的责任就是讲，然后其他的就由神来做。
Embrace your identity, embrace the gift of salvation, and remember that this is a gift for everybody, not just the Christians, and God loves them. Enjoy that love and you want, you know, just imagining your friends and your family, you know, being able to enjoy that love as well.
Be patient, be gentle and kind. Do not force our belief onto them. Love them. Proclaiming Christ in all we do and say.
I believe that when God prompts us to go and share the gospel, He has already prepared the person to listen to it. So we just go and share the gospel and let Him do the rest.
不要害怕，然后要克服那个先入为主的观念，不要觉得说你会被拒绝。那如果真的被拒绝或者被人辱骂的时候，也不要灰心，也不要放弃，继续用主的爱去爱他们，继续为他们祷告，一直等到主的救恩临到他们。
Amen. Let us go all in for Jesus. We praise God for many covenanters who are really encouraging us in this area. So what is one area where God is challenging you to step out of your comfort zone and step into a new season of fruitfulness? What is this area that God is challenging you? Whatever that He's asking you to do is going to be very different as compared to your friends. Do not compare. Personally, some time ago, the Lord asked me this question in my prayer time. The Lord asked me this, Sharon, do you believe that there's going to be a harvest among Mandarin-speaking people in Woodlands, in BBJ, in Singapore, and beyond? Do you believe? After praying, I said, God, I believe. And then God said, then get ready for the harvest. Brush up your Mandarin. So since last year, I started listening to the podcast, Learning Chinese Podcast. It's really good. And learning that, you know, whatever that the Lord is asking you to do, you've got to be ready. You cannot just say, I want fruitfulness, but you don't want to do anything about it. Start with practicing the first point of today's sermon. Keep aligning your life back to the cross. Keep putting away your old ways, your old habits, your old idols. Number one, keep doing that. Number two, be trained in the three circles. The three circles is easy, but you got to learn how to draw it. You got to train yourself, draw and draw until you can close your eyes and you can do it. Be trained. Get ready. You know, after the Lord challenging me in that area of the Chinese-speaking people coming to know the Lord. After much encouragement from my Chinese pastors, so a few weeks ago, I preached my first Chinese sermon in Woodland Center Chinese congregation. I was excited not because I finally did it. I was excited because I got a chance to invite my Mandarin-speaking auntie who lives in Yishun. And I really love this auntie. I said, "Auntie, I'm preaching. Would you want to come and listen to the sermon?" She came and she prayed to receive Christ. I was excited because I caught a glimpse of our brothers and sisters in the Mandarin congregation. And a lot of them are fully ablaze for Jesus. I spoke to a lot of the ama, akong, they are all on fire for Jesus. And this is a picture of our Mandarin dialect congregation across two centers, BBJ and Woodlands. And next week, we get to see them. We get to meet them. They are joining us for bilingual service. It's the first time that we get to hear Pastor Patrick preaching the sermon fully abundant in Mandarin, and there will be translation. And not only that, I want to encourage you, prayerfully invite a relative. You know, we always have our like relatives or our parents that we wish they can worship with us, but because the English and the Chinese timing is not synchronized, but finally, we can have them together. So I invited my mom, I invited my auntie, and they are coming. So I want to encourage you, take this opportunity to invite them so that we can be fully abundant for God together again. So today, God is calling us because we are spiritual descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We have a destiny of fruitfulness. Step into that destiny. Step in by practicing aligning your life back to God, to cross. Step in by practicing your three circles and be ready for the harvest. Because of Jesus, let us be fully ablaze for Him and His kingdom. Keep aligning yourself back to the cross and let Christ transform you. Go out and share the goodness of God with others. Go out and share how Christ has changed you. Go out and tell them how Christ gives freedom to the captives, good news to the poor, healing to the broken. Go out and be a blaze for Him in 2025. Let us pray. I'm going to give you some time to just reflect. The Holy Scriptures is very clear today. Whatever breakthroughs that you have received from God, it's not for you to keep. Go out and share that good news to your friends. I know many of you desire to step into this new season of fruitfulness, yet you have this voice that tells you fruitfulness is for others, not for you. With all eyes closed, I want to speak to you. Who told you so that fruitfulness is for others and not for you? Who told you that? Because we are spiritual descendants of this wonderful destiny of fruitfulness. Fruitfulness is our destiny and our birthright. And if you have been hearing this voice that tells you fruitfulness is for those who are gifted, for the evangelist, today I want to rebuke that voice in the name of Jesus, and I call you to arise. Just as how God speaks to Jacob, arise and build an altar of worship, today I call you to arise and step into your destiny of fruitfulness. Arise and worship God and worship Him in such a way that people will look into your life and know that Jesus is alive. So if this is your desire to arise and build an altar of worship to Him once again, I call you to rise and sing this song, Because of Jesus.
To the one who's worthy,
In the on-site or online space, today you want to believe in Jesus. Today you confess that you are a sinner. You believe that Jesus died for your sins, and by His blood your sins can be forgiven and cleansed. Today you believe that Jesus died and rose from the dead, and you want to receive Jesus for the first time in your life. With all eyes closed, if this is you, can you raise your hand? I want to pray for you. Is there anyone who wants to receive Jesus for the first time? I want to pray for you. Father, I want to bless my friends here today, in on-site or in the online space. Father, today they have made a really important decision, and that is to believe Jesus and receive Him as Lord and Savior. Today, come into their hearts, cleanse and forgive their sins, come into their life and start to make the ruins, restore the ruins, start to restore their brokenness so that they can step into a new season of fruitfulness, so that their lives will start to flourish in the way that you have designed it to be. Today we give thanks to you for all that you've done and all that you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
You bring freedom to the captives, good news to the poor, healing to the broken, and joy to those who mourn. You turn ashes into beauty, the ruins you restore. I am a testimony of the goodness of
you. Bring freedom, oh God.
Joy to those who mourn. You turn ashes into beauty, of Jesus, I have been changed.
Praise the Lord. I am a testimony of the goodness of the Lord. Can we say that together? Each person say, I am a testimony of the goodness of the Lord. One, two, three. I am a testimony of the goodness of the Lord. Yeah, that is truth, right? The goodness and the power of God who transforms us, not only saving us from our sins, but healing our brokenness, giving us stories to tell because we are testimonies of the goodness and the power of God to save and transform lives. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a clap of praise. Worthy are you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Just receive the benediction. May the amazing grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the everlasting love of God the Father, and the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Go in peace to love the Lord and to serve Him in the week ahead.
We're glad you had spent some time listening to God's Word, and we hope that the message has ministered to you. You can visit us at www.cefc.org.sg for more sermon titles. God bless you in your spiritual pilgrimage ahead.